Today, we're going to answer a great question that gets into understanding how to understand a business broker as a buyer of a business. Stay tuned.
I'm David C. Barnett, and you're tuned in to Small Business and Dealmaking, the podcast, YouTube channel, and blog where I talk about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses while controlling risk. So if you're looking to take control of your future through buying a business one day, or if you already own a business and you're looking to grow or exit, you've come to the right place. I talk about interesting things, I talk to interesting people, and I answer your questions every week right here. So be sure to hit like and be sure to hit subscribe, and let's get to it. Are you thinking of growing your business or beginning a journey into entrepreneurship? Take a shortcut to success by buying an existing and profitable business the right way. Visit businessbuyeradvantage.com and learn more about my online training, group coaching, and consulting services designed to help you win.
Awesome. I got a great question, which was left as a comment to a YouTube video from Sean. I want to put it up here on the screen. Sean was watching a video I put out in 2021 called How Long Does It Take to Buy a Business? He left this comment a couple weeks ago asking, first he said, thanks for the great video. Thanks for watching, Sean. He says, I have one question. I found this business that I want to buy on a website. Am I allowed to reach out to the owner directly if I can? Or if I go on a broker route, how can I ensure that the broker is really qualified and I will do the right thing and will do the right thing for a good deal? Great question, Sean. So, to make sure we're clear here, if you find a business for sale online and there's a way to make contact to inquire about the business, that's what you should do. You should not circumvent a business broker because you think you've figured out what business it is that's for sale. And so let's talk a little bit about this before we get into the main topic of today's video. So the business owner has engaged with a business broker, and the business broker probably has a contract with that business owner saying that they have an exclusive right to represent or sell that business. And so if you go around the broker and you contact the business owner directly, many times the business owner will simply refer you to the broker if you did make contact. But it's gonna then maybe potentially poison the broker's attitude towards you as a buyer. And it could create a further hurdle for you to overcome. So if a business is listed for sale with a broker, contact the broker. That's the way you should approach it. If you are doing a proprietary search and you're just reaching out to different businesses and you happen to reach one that is for sale with a broker, that business owners may refer you to the broker, or they may refer your contact to their broker and the broker may reach out to you. Make sure that you make it clearly understood that you did not contact the business because you saw it listed on, you know, an online business for sale website. Let them know that you've just been reaching out to those types of businesses so that it wasn't an effort on your part to go around that broker relationship. So, what is the role of a business broker? So a business broker, their job is to help people prepare a business for sale, the documentation, the packaging, et cetera, the SIM or the business profile, whatever it's what that broker happens to call it, to get a business ready for a buyer to come and take a look at. And then the broker's job is to go and find the buyer. And another part of the broker's job that I feel is a part of their job that many brokers might not agree with is that it's then the broker's job to help the buyer, you know, arrange the financing, maybe even work on their business plan, cash flow projections, et cetera. That's what I did when I had my business brokerage practice. So I was helping to evaluate the business for the seller to show them what it might sell for. I was packaging it up to present it and try to find those buyers. And then I was helping the buyer come together and put their deal together and get financing, et cetera, to make the deal happen. So when I spoke about business brokerage back in those days, I would draw the parallel with real estate, and I would say it's kind of like I'm doing the job of an appraiser, a real estate agent, and a mortgage broker all in one. And it has to be done this way because of the secrecy element of selling a business, that you don't want all these different parties to become involved. So here's the issue though. is that there are business brokers out there who are really fantastic business brokers who are going to do the things that are necessary to help a deal happen as easily as possible for both parties. And then there are brokers out there who may actually stymie and create roadblocks to a deal happening. So let's talk about the two different kinds of brokers. I'll put them into two categories. Let's call them shopkeepers and dentists. Okay. So imagine yourself going into a hat store and you walk into the hat shop and there's a clerk there and they come up to you and they say, hello, how can I help you? And you say, I'd really like to buy a purple hat. And they will lead you around the store and show you every purple hat. And, you know, they'll maybe even go in the back room and look for a purple hat. They're going to do everything that they can to please you in order to get you to do a transaction. And what they're doing is they're taking you at your word. They're listening to your talk. They're listening to your words, and what they think you want is a purple hat, right? If you compare that experience with a dentist, you go into the dentist office and you say, my tooth hurts. And the dentist takes a look at it and says, oh, well, you need a root canal. And you say, well, I don't want a root canal. I want you to fix it with a filling. And the dentist is going to say, you know, what the problem you have isn't going to be fixed with a filling. You need a root canal. And so if you say, well, no, I'm not willing to pay for a root canal. I want a filling. A good dentist is going to say, well, then I can't help you, right? Because the dentist understands the problem and the dentist knows what needs to be done to fix the problem. And the dentist is not afraid to exercise their authority in your relationship because they're the expert and you are not, right? And so business brokers are in the same two kinds of camps. So there are business brokers out there who will, you know, do marketing efforts to try to meet business owners. And then a business owner will show up and say, I want to sell my business. And that business broker will say, great, what do you want to sell your business for? And they'll put together a package with that asking price on it that may not make any sense. So I recently saw a business profile put together by a broker, and it literally showed seller's discretionary earnings ranging from $13,000 to $40,000 a year and an asking price of $1.1 million. Okay. And there weren't $1.1 million worth of assets in the business. So it was just a completely nonsensical document. There is no way anyone would ever make that kind of deal. So why is the broker wasting their time? My gut tells me that, you know, they want to have every listing they can so that they can attract buyers and maybe get the buyers on a list, right? Clearly, no one's ever going to buy that business. And so is that business broker actually helping that business seller? Are they helpful at all to any buyer in doing that and creating that presentation, right? So I've always said that a good business broker is one who helps to manage and set expectations of the buyer and the seller. And so what does that mean? It means that the business broker is going to meet with the seller, evaluate their business and say, look, Mr. Seller, based on the cash flow that you have and the assets in the business and on any other factors we're going to point at, you know, and look at some of these examples of past sale transactions, here's what I think your business might sell for. You know, your business might sell for $500,000. And so let's bring it to market with an asking price of $549, and we'll see what kind of offers we can get. And if that seller says, no, I need $1 million to retire, the good qualified business broker is going to say, well, we're not going to sell it for $1 million. And I don't want to waste my time. And if you really need $1 million, maybe you should operate it for a few more years, save some more money, and then we'll sell it for a reasonable price, or you can find someone else to sell it for you, right? That's like the business broker acting like the dentist. And that business broker is setting expectations in the mind of the seller. They're saying, here's why your business is going to sell for $500,000. So when you come on the scene as a buyer, if the seller has been properly prepared for what their business is going to sell for, it means that if you make a reasonable offer for the business, the broker is then going to be able to say, look, here's a reasonable offer on the business. It's in the ballpark of what I explained we should be getting. And let's have some negotiation, some back and forth, and let's get the deal done. Because at the end of the day, a good business broker is trying to get deals to clear the market. because that's how they get paid. They get paid a commission when the business is sold, right? And so by setting the expectation of the seller properly in the right price range, terms, et cetera, they're going to set up that deal to be more easily cleared in the marketplace, okay? So if you're dealing with the wrong kind of business broker, what can happen is that the seller's expectations, of course, are not set properly. What kind of expectations might not be set properly? Well, I already mentioned price, that's number one. But then the other thing could be to do with terms. You know, if, you know, I've had many cases where people have sold their business through an intermediary that wasn't really experienced in business sales, who never told them about seller financing, for example. And so buyers would make offers, including seller financing, and the seller would say no to all of them because they thought that selling a business was like selling a house, that they were going to get, you know, a big check on closing day. So that's an example of setting expectations with respect to terms. So how do you know if the broker is going to end up being a facilitator of the deal for you as a buyer, or if they're going to end up being part of the problem that prevents you from buying the business under at a reasonable price under reasonable terms? Well, you have to do some due diligence on the broker. And I'm not talking about an exhaustive process involving accountants and lawyers or anything like that. I'm just talking about a basic investigation into understanding who the person is, and what they, you know, kind of experience they have and what their relationship with the seller may look like. Okay. So it's kind of like a job interview, except you don't tip your hand that you're putting them through a job interview. Okay. So there's two parts to this. Number one are the things that you can do before you even talk to the broker. So you find, you know, to put Sean's question back in the conversation here. You find a business that's for sale online, and maybe it says it's listed with a certain brokerage, ABC Brokers. Well, you can go look up the website of ABC Brokers. You can see how many listings they have. You can see who's on the team there. When you see who's on the team, you can probably identify the broker that has the listing. Sometimes if you look at the broker's own website, and they've got listings there, it will identify which broker represents that particular listing. So once you know the name of the broker, if you weren't sure before, or even if you make an initial email contact and a broker replies back to you before you engage in a conversation, you can do this sort of online investigation. You then go over to their LinkedIn profile and you check out what it has to say. You know, what is the person's background? How long have they been a business broker? What sorts of things did they do before that? Were they a business owner, an accountant, management experience in a company, right? Are they a business broker today? And 3 months ago, they were a real estate agent. Like, these are important things to know when you're figuring out what kind of person you're going to be talking to. What sort of online content or discussions do they have? So a lot of people, most people interact with social media and the online world passively. They consume content. Not everybody is making content, right? However, if you go onto LinkedIn, you can actually see someone's activity and you can see what kind of comments or discussions they're participating in. So you can actually check out, you know, what kind of comments they leave under what kinds of posts, and you can kind of make some determinations about the individual based on the things that they're saying with respect to what they're putting online. So if the broker is responding to an online post about a business sale transaction and they make some insightful comments, then we can help you understand that this person understands the business and what they're doing, right? You want to then talk to them. So when you talk with a business broker, the broker's point of view is that the conversation is going to be about the business, right? They see you inquiring about a business and they think that they're going to call you up or talk with you or what have you to talk about the business. And so you might start with some basic things about the business, but then you want to steer the conversation towards themselves and business brokerage in general. So what does that look like? Well, you just ask the question. You say, hey, you know, ever since I started looking at businesses for sale, I've been kind of curious about business brokerage and the role that you play. How long have you been doing this, right? So you can start to engage with them. So how long have you been a business broker? How many listings do you have right now? How many deals have you done? How many sellers have you met with that you've rejected? Why have you rejected some of the business owners that come forward? It's important because some business brokers are going to say that they don't reject anyone, right? That to me is a little bit of a red flag. Tell me about the businesses that you've sold. And again, asking the questions in an open-ended format is going to yield better results because then you can start to glean other information from the stories and everything that gets added. So tell me about the most recent business that you've sold. What other businesses have you sold in the past year? What kinds of businesses were they? You want to ask them to tell you some stories. So you can make a statement, for example, I hear that many businesses are bought with seller financing. There's a lot of people online talking about that. Can you tell me what your experience is with that? And so what you're listening for is you're listening for the types of terms that other sellers have accepted in deals that they've done. And this is important because if they say, oh yeah, seller financing is used all the time. We recently had a deal where the seller financed 25%, or we had a deal where the seller financed 30%, there's a greater likelihood that this broker has had a conversation with the seller about seller financing and its important role in helping businesses to be sold. Whereas if the broker said, oh, you know, we discourage seller financing and sometimes, you know, and this would be the case somewhere in the United States, where the broker might say, you know, if it's an SBA requirement, we sometimes do 5 or 10% seller financing. So that person's got a very closed attitude towards seller financing. And what it likely means is that they have not spent time with the business owner explaining the advantages of doing greater percentages of seller financing, how it might help them achieve a higher price, get a faster closing, how it might be a great investment vehicle for the seller post-close to be able to collect interest on that seller note, et cetera. Another great open-ended question. Have you had a buyer agree to any deal that you would consider to be creative? Can you tell me about that? Right? So I actually had someone ask me this back in my business broker days, and I would tell them the story of a motel deal that I once did where instead of buying the business, the buyer actually leased the motel with an option to buy at a fixed price and then used their capital to do a renovation, right? And so once the renovation was done, then they were able to get an appraisal on the motel, and then they exercised their option to buy the motel at the predetermined price. And so it was basically almost like 100% seller financing without the title changing, right? So that's quite a creative deal, right? And so I would tell that story to people. Because I was interested in letting buyers know that, yes, I spend a lot of time talking with my sellers about the different ways we can get a deal done. And I was trying to encourage as many different buyers as possible to step forward with as many different options for my seller, right? Other business brokers are not open to that. They really think that what they're doing is just waiting for a buyer who can write a check for the full amount. I actually had one of our Business Buyer Advantage group coaching calls happened a couple of weeks ago, and one of the members brought forward an example of a business broker who said that they would not release the SIM basically unless a buyer could demonstrate that they had 100% of the purchase price available in cash, which, you know, who buys a business all cash? Large strategic buyers, you know, like if a Fortune 500 company is coming to buy your small business, maybe that they would be able to do that. And maybe if you own, I don't know, a mid-sized garbage collection company and you're waiting for waste management to come and buy you, maybe that's possible, right? But if waste management made an offer, would you really need to see their bank account, right? So like it just doesn't make sense, right? And so that broker is probably creating a problem for their seller by making that kind of request from buyers, because certainly most people that buy a business are going to use some kind of leverage. And so they're not going to have all the money. They're going to have a reasonable down payment, which again demonstrates how well that broker has prepared the seller to meet you and find out what kind of offer you're going to make. You want to ask some other questions about the process. So you know, And be clear when you're asking this that you're not asking specifically about the business you inquired on. Just say in general, like, so, I mean, what is the process for setting the asking price? Like, can you tell me how they're set? Is it just the price that the seller wants, or is there some kind of method to it? And so what you're looking for, ideally, is for a broker to explain, well, you know, we do an evaluation on the business. We compare it with other businesses that have sold. We show the seller what it reasonably may sell for, and then we set an asking price based on that with the seller's input, for example, right? But if the broker says, well, you know, that's private, or, you know, the seller determines the asking price, right? It shows you a little bit about what process may be lacking in that broker's way of doing business. Ask them how they find listings. This is important because you want to get an impression for the kinds of things that broker is telling the market, right? So one of the common things that I see a lot is business brokers will advertise that they have some kind of secret sauce that lets them sell businesses for the highest possible price, right? And so what they end up doing is they end up attracting people who are entirely price driven. And so I'll give you a common example of the way that a deal might fall apart. So a business has an asking price of $800,000, and maybe the buyer, just looking at the revenue and the cash flow, says, you know what, this business is really only worth about $500,000, but it looks like just the Goldilocks perfect business that I want to buy. So I'm going to take a look at the business, make sure it actually is suitable for me, and then I'm going to make a business, an offer based on what is realistic and reasonable for this business. So the buyer spends time looking at the business, they meet the seller, they look at the cash flow, they look at the numbers, and they say, yep, this is my Goldilocks acquisition, but I can only pay $550,000. They make the offer to the seller, and the seller rejects it because they say, no, we want $800,000. And then the seller explains, you know, here's why I can only afford to pay $550,000. And sometimes the sellers can be very convincing. This is, you know, part of the stuff we do in the group coaching program. And in teaching the seller why the business can only be sold for $550,000. And sometimes they do such a great job that the sellers become convinced, yes, I fully agree and understand that the business can only be sold for $550,000. And you know what happens next? They don't sell the business for $550,000, right? What ends up happening is the seller says, oh, I can understand now why it can't be sold for more than $550,000. And so because I need $800,000, I can't afford to sell. And so then the business goes off the market. And so the broker wasted all of their time. And then as an offshoot to that, the buyer wasted their time and the seller wasted a bunch of time because the broker was basically marketing themselves as I can sell businesses for the highest price possible. And they were just basically taking every listing they could get. So you want to have an understanding of how do they find listings. Now, the sort of the opposite of that would be a broker who says, oh, we've sold 15 warehouse and distribution businesses over the last 5 years, and we have a reputation in that industry. And so when people in that industry are thinking about exiting, you know, we often get the phone call, right? So it's a very different kind of way that those business brokers are sourcing their businesses for sale. Anyway, I want to thank Sean for sending in the question. Email your questions, leave them in comments down below. This is how I get the information or get the ideas for videos that I create. I want to remind everyone as well, sign up for my email list. If you're interested in this kind of stuff and you never want to miss a new video, or you want to hear about any kind of live events that I'm doing either online or locally, in different places, get on the email list. I send out emails every day. You do have the option of choosing which specific topics you're interested in. So if you're only interested in being informed of new videos that come out or live events or specials or whatever, you can just check those boxes and make the determination. And you head over to davidcbarnettlist.com is the place where you can sign up for that. And with that, I want to say thank you very much. And if you're curious about that group coaching program that I mentioned, go to businessbuyeradvantage.com. You can learn about all my different buyer services there. You can learn about the online training, the group coaching program, the consulting work that I do. There's a new video that we've just updated because we have a new version of our buyer insight analysis consulting package that we do for buyers all the time. So if you're looking to buy a business, I can help you in a number of different ways. Businessbuyeradvantage.com is the place to find out about all of those. And with that, I'll say thank you very much, and we'll see you all next time. Cheers.
So, how can you learn more about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses? Easy. Go over to my blog site, davidcbarnett.com, where you can learn more about me and how I work with my clients. You can learn more about my books and courses that I've prepared for you. You can find out how to subscribe to my email list, the YouTube playlists, and more. There's literally hundreds of hours of content there, all for free, and I'd love for you to be my guest. Special thanks go to Mark Willis at Lake Growth Financial, today's video sponsor. Mark helps people better manage their personal and business finances through the Bank on Yourself insurance strategy. This is something I've done personally and I've seen others use it successfully for years. Go to newbankingsolution.com to find all the interviews I've done with Mark and learn more about the advantages of these programs. While there, sign up for a free consultation to learn what this solution might look like for you.